and new Dodges, Chryslers, Ford, Suzuki's, Jeeps of your choice. I will trade for anything, even your skill or labor. Try me on. Great financing available on the balance. That's WolfAutoGroup.com. Many locations for your convenience. Call Phil personally at 303-931-9096. It's 303-931-9096.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Allstate Sweeping reminds parents in our listening area that over the summer, children who are out of school shouldn't be out of luck, hope, or guidance. For many troubled youth, the first step towards drugs and crime is having nothing better to do. Take your kids to the beach, park, or family center. It's the best weapon against delinquency, crime, and drug abuse. This message is from Allstate Sweeping. They're a concerned area business working toward drug-free communities for our youngsters. That's Allstate Sweeping, located at 10150 East 106th Avenue in Brighton.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and we're going to summarize the major events of this last week. Hi, Joel, how are we doing this morning?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. Good to hear from you.
Well, please bring us up to date on what you think the major issues are and the issues that people need to get clarified.
Well, the major issue, of course, is Clinton's so-called private humanitarian trip to North Korea to gain the release of the two reporters, you know, the capture of these two U.S. reporters of Chinese descent who work for Al Gore's current TV company, and their subsequent rescue by Bill Clinton really was a setup from the very beginning, and nothing that's reported in the mainstream news about this story really comes close to the truth. We get bits and pieces. And but to give your readers a little bit of background, when these two reporters were captured on the frozen Yalu River, that's the river that divides China from North Korea on its western boundary or northern boundary, it was a predictable tactic used by North Korea to obtain secret concessions from the U.S., capture somebody. And although these people could have been set up by someone, you know, knowing that they were out there on the ice making contact with North Koreans trying to get human rights violations for a story in that regard. Nevertheless, North Korea does have a history of having taken hostages in order to get concessions. They've taken hostages from North or from South Korea, which they still hold. They have Japanese tourists, which they still hold, which have never been released. Despite all of Japan's demands, and you know, the U.S. and the six-party talks have never been serious about getting the release of these people, which I find hard to believe. And yet, all of a sudden, we're to believe that just because of the appearance of Bill Clinton, you know, shaking hands with Kim Jong-il, the alien dictator of North Korea, that they were suddenly released. So it doesn't match reality in terms of North Korea's recalcitrance in not releasing the other prisoners and hostages which they hold. Of course, the two women were railroaded into a North Korean court and sentenced to hard labor in one of North Korea's notorious prison camps. This was done for shock effect, I believe, to elicit horror around the world. In reality, the two women reporters never suffered one day of hard labor. They're kept in a very fine apartment awaiting this release. So that is also evidence that this was just a show trial in order to gain, you know, concessions. And the U.S. really, in my opinion, isn't reluctantly doing this and isn't fighting this. They've been dealing secretly with Russia and China and North Korea for years, giving permissive concessions to them as a means, you have so often put, building the best enemy money can buy. And I think the policy of continuing to be permissive and to tolerate North Korea, despite its nuclear weapons, its proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, is going to continue. So while this started out as a deliberate ploy by North Korea, the story that this release was a totally private effort by Bill Clinton, not sanctioned by the U.S. government, is an outright lie, as is attested by many of the details that are starting to come out about the coordination between the National Security Council Chief General Jim Jones and Hillary Clinton's State Department. And in fact, Obama's aides, you know, went out of their way, too far out of their way, in my opinion. As Shakespeare said, they protested too loudly. Clinton's mission, claiming that it was a private one, in no way represented a new U.S. diplomatic initiative. I mean, this is bogus, and is precisely why the aides went out of their way to make the point. They even emphasized the fact that Obama talked with Clinton this morning, but not before his trip to North Korea, giving the implication that if Obama hadn't talked to Clinton, it couldn't have been an official government-sanctioned trip. But that's not true at all. And so paranoid was the White House about giving the impression that there's no quid pro quo in the release that Gibbs disputed a North Korean state report that the former president apologized on behalf of the two reporters. And certainly North Korea would have considered this a pro forma thing that was important to save face for North Korea. But Gibbs had the audacity to say that President Clinton gave no messages, no deals, no promises, just a sudden thaw in an otherwise frosty relationship. Well, anyone familiar with the past and current history of North Korea and their tactics knows that this release without conditions was a total charade. They had to be a pre-agreed-upon script executed by both sides to precision. It was at once a propaganda coup for Kim Jong-il, coming across as a benevolent grantor of clemency, and a publicity stunt for media-hungry Bill Clinton and Al Gore. But in fact, you know, to show that this was, in fact, you know, to give a very strong counter to Gibbs' statement that there was no message delivered. I mean, how can you say there's no message delivered when Clinton spent 3 hours, Dr. Stan, with Kim Jong-il? I mean, this exceeds most of the time that President Obama spends with other nations' leaders that come to the White House. He spent 3 hours. What do you talk about for 3 hours? The weather?
How about girls?
Yeah, that's something that they both have in common, apparently. But,
well, you know, I think the important thing for our listeners to realize is that it is a federal crime for anybody to try to negotiate independently with a foreign nation. I mean, you can't go over as an American citizen and negotiate with the leaders of a foreign nation. That is a federal crime. So, I mean, obviously this is, you know, was all planned ahead of time. And, you know, I was thinking after our conversation yesterday, back to the Korean War, and you look at the things that happened during the Korean War, and some of them didn't make any sense. For instance, General MacArthur, in his book Reminiscences, talked about how he wasn't allowed to bomb the major supply depots in North Korea. Now, here's where the supplies are that are being given to the soldiers, that are killing American soldiers, and yet he can't bomb their supply depots. Not even the supply, he's not talking about the supplies coming in over the Yalu. He's talking about the major supply depots in North Korea. He wasn't even allowed to bomb the major electricity-generating plants in North Korea. In other words, these were well inside North Korea. They were certainly ideal targets. Knock them out, you destroy the whole infrastructure of North Korea. Why, when we were fighting over there and our boys were supposedly dying for whatever they were dying for, we weren't allowed to try to win the war. So obviously, there's always been a close relationship between the people who control our government and the people who control North Korea. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it.
Door-to-Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
Ferris Survival is your one-stop shop for all your family preparedness needs. Ferris Survival carries high-quality, long-term storable food from Mountain House with a 25-year shelf life. Come by and pick up some high-quality organic bulk grains like wheat, quinoa, corn, and barley. Filter your drinking water through the world-famous British Birkfeld water filtration system and reduce or remove bacteria, chlorine, parasites, sediment, and rust for the best-tasting water for pennies a day. Pick up a 3-day kit from Survivor Industries for the car. Ferris Survival also carries a huge selection of hard-to-find books from Paladin Press and Desert Publications. Ferris Survival is located at 3366 South Broadway, three blocks north of Hamden in Inglewood. Call Ferris Survival at 1-866-781-0343 or on the web, www.fserve.com. Prepare your family. Visit Ferris Survival today.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and I was just saying, you know, that certainly during the Korean War, why General MacArthur, and you'll find this in General MacArthur's book, Reminiscences, wasn't allowed to bomb the major supply depots in North Korea, wasn't allowed to bomb the electric plants, and certainly would have just destroyed the whole infrastructure of North Korea. And ever since, you know, North Korea has been there, we've never signed a real peace agreement with them. And yet we've consistently, under one guise or another, given them food, oil, built a nuclear plant for them. You know, if we really wanted to stop this foolishness, why, we would put sanctions on and demand that Russia and China go right along with it, or we'd stop financing them too, but we've never done that. We've allowed North Korea to actually print American money and circulate it throughout the world, counterfeit money. We've stood by and allowed North Korea to do all sorts of things, and there's no way they could have either developed their sophisticated intercontinental ballistic missiles or developed a nuclear bomb without help from American technology, perhaps transferred to Russia and China. But we've never put any pressure on those countries to stop financing our supposed enemy, North Korea. So I think most of this is simply smoke and mirrors. We have to have an enemy. It keeps the American people on edge and behind our courageous leaders, like, of course, Bill Clinton.
Well, there is indication that there were significant negotiations going on. The Washington Post got quite a few leaks out of the administration, and when you can put two and two together, you can see this. Here's some of the evidence. You know, frankly, this would be more credible if the administration had agreed that they had some part in this rather than trying to say that, you know, this was a total arm's-length transaction. We now know that General Jim Jones of the head of the National Security Council, which is the White House, essentially, in terms of real foreign policy, gave extensive briefings. They admitted to the Post that they, in fact, wanted Al Gore to go initially, but that Kim Jong-il wasn't going to accept Al Gore. He wanted someone of the stature of a former president, Bill Clinton. That, you know, there have been extensive briefings. Of course, it's totally illegal to fly, as you put, into North Korea. The head of the Burbank private jet corporation that which manages the private jet of Steve Bing, Hollywood producer who provided the fuel and the aircraft to fly Clinton to, admitted that he had to work for days with the between the State Department and the FAA to get approval to fly into North Korea. And obviously, that means the State Department and the White House had to be dealing with North Korea directly. They claim that they're only dealing with North Korea on the six-party talks, but they have all kinds of back-channel communications. I mean, there was extensive communications on this whole thing, and it was going on for weeks. And then the White House tries to claim, of course, that they didn't know until Sunday that this trip was going off. I mean, this is just ludicrous. It just doesn't match up. And the fact that they're lying through their teeth indicates that they're trying to hide something. Now, you know, I'm sure that the U.S. gave North Korea some significant concessions in return for release of the reporters. You know, the sanctions that they've had prior to this point that the U.N. agreed upon at China's insistence that North Korean ships could not be boarded without North Korea's permission. However, there are significant banking and financial sanctions on North Korea, which does put a crimp in their style. And I feel strongly, my best guess is that the secret concessions that Bill Clinton proffered to them were to remove a lot of those banking and financial sanctions, because those could be done in private without the rest of the world knowing, you know, unlike many of the more open sanctions. Now, the reason for all the denials and the secrecy involved in this by the Obama administration is that Obama made a big issue of the fact that the former U.S. secret policy under the Bush administration, and in fact under the Clinton administration himself, of rewarding North Korea for its continual violations of agreements would stop with this administration. It would say, we're not going to continue to reward North Korea for its bad behavior and continue to give them aid and trade when they are refusing to eliminate their nuclear program. And yet that's exactly what they're doing. The administration has gone to extensive lengths to avoid the appearance of being permissive, but in fact they are. Obama often uses this tactic of acknowledging past U.S. policy mistakes and falsely pledging change. His bold acknowledgement of past U.S. mistakes and the hypocrisy involved is enough to convince the average person that surely Obama would never engage in this same conduct after so boldly criticizing it, so dramatically criticizing it. That then becomes the perfect cover, as people are reluctant to believe that someone would blatantly talk about you know, how evil this is and then do it themselves. It is, in fact, an essential dimension, Dr. Stan, of the art of the big lie, is to make it so preposterous, you know, that I would, that a person speaking such grandiloquent things would turn on those very things and betray and lie directly to the camera. And yet, that's exactly what happens in the big lie.
I'm sure you're correct, and we've seen this.
And, of course, it takes the media complicity, because the media could, of course, point out that this is a lie, and they never do. You know, whenever Obama betrays these things, and in fact the Washington Post removed one of their prime liberal reporters who was in fact attacking Obama for betraying what he had said he would do. And the media just simply does not want this out there.
Well, it's unfortunate, that, and this is why I do what I do and why you do what you do, is to try to get the American people to see the truth, when, of course, everything is being done by the controlled media to conceal the truth from the American people.
Yes, and it is by purposeful and selective omissions of key truths that the media most often distorts the truth. And that's why government lies and conceals. They use the cover of national security to conceal illegal acts, improper acts, acts that are against the best interest of the United States, that if people knew about, they would be outraged. Well, there's some more. Moving on to another topic for this week's World Affairs Brief, which is coming out after this interview. The Organization of American States is proposing a convention. They're not calling it a treaty, and it has very much to do with gun control. And they're calling it a convention to avoid having it to go through the Senate for confirmation. In fact, it really still does. And, you know, there is, this is called the Inter American Convention Against the Illicit Manufacturing and Trafficking in Firearms, Ammunition, Explosives, and Other Related Materials. Well, this treaty is commonly called the CIFTA, which is you know, the Spanish equivalent, Convención Interamericana contra la Fabricación y el Tráfico Ilícito de Armas, which is the translation or the original language of what we just talked about. But the document, as I say, is called a convention rather than a treaty because convention is a term for a multilateral treaty created by a multinational organization. At the OAS meeting in 2009, Obama said he would send, and I might say, that this convention was passed in 1997. President Clinton signed this gun control treaty, but it had never been presented to the Senate for ratification. President Obama said in 2009, April, that he would send CIFTA to the U.S. Senate and urge ratification. The White House claimed that the convention was merely an expression of international goodwill. But the two targets of this convention are to stop police departments from reselling to dealers confiscated firearms and weapons, which they do on a regular basis, and two, to stop private reloading of ammunition. Reloading, of course, is entirely lawful in every state, and no state requires a specific permit for those reloading ammunition. However, CIFTA declares that illicit manufacturing is the manufacture or assembly of firearms, ammunition, explosives, and so it's so general that it is considered illicit if it takes place without a license from a competent authority. And so essentially, by signing this treaty, they will enforce, of course, be required then to license everyone who does reloading. Now, this is pretty difficult to track down since reloading occurs in people's basements and garages, and it's pretty difficult to find. But they're trying all kinds of things, Dr. Stan, and this is another backdoor approach to limiting the Second Amendment. And we've always known that even though they may not have the ability to take people's guns away, they certainly will attempt to limit ammunition so that they become unusable.
And unfortunately, this is the stepping stone, the pathway to tyranny. There are people who want a dictatorship in America. They hate the Constitution because it limits their ability to control guns, to control people. It limits what the government can do. And these people are subversive. They're trying to destroy our Constitution, the very document that they have sworn to uphold.
It's absolutely true. I think people need to understand that there are people who most of all in the Constitution hate the Second Amendment. They hate the ability of the private citizen to have private arms, and every tyrannical government in the world has attempted to restrict arms only to government forces where they can control those things. Well, moving on to another story, there's a tremendous amount of infighting within Fatah, the major wing of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Apparently, this infighting is came out in this week's Sixth Revolutionary Council of the party that began in Bethlehem on Tuesday. As you know, the Fatah is affiliated with the Palestinian Authority under Mahmoud Abbas, the heir apparent of Yasser Arafat. And the Young Turks of the Fatah faction are increasingly dissatisfied with the old line, old guard of the PLO, especially because they're hiding their financial dealings. They refuse to give an open and detailed accounting of all the money that they have. And, of course, this is a big secret because there's a tremendous amount of corruption that goes on within the Palestinian Authority. As you remember, Yasser Arafat stashed away some $300 million that he siphoned off from international aid to the Palestinian Authority and siphoned it off into a Swiss bank account, which we now find out was set up by the Israelis in combination with Mark Rich, the notorious financier and money launderer who was pardoned by Bill Clinton in his last day in office. So there's an awful lot of intrigue that goes on around the world, And who would have thought that Israel would be helping set up bank accounts in Switzerland, secret bank accounts for Yasser Arafat, their supposed enemy. But in fact, they were working in collusion because the Israeli government really has been a globalist government, only masquerading as a right-wing government. But now there's a... And what's interesting here in terms of the overall picture is the reason that Israel continues to survive as a sovereign nation is not so much because of the strength of their own government, who continues to try to sell them out to this phony peace process, which is really has the purpose of weakening Israel's borders till it becomes undefensible in the next war, and giving away Jerusalem and giving away the water rights, taking away the settlements and all of these things, which is... many who read the Bible understand that that's the God-given destiny of Israel to have the original lands which they had in biblical days given back to them by the Lord. But of course, you know, there's this land has gone back and forth from Arabs to Jews for centuries, and then fought them among themselves for many, many years, and so it's awfully hard to trace property rights now when, in fact, there have been multiple conquerings of the various cities. But in any case, it's very, very clear that that which keeps the globalists from, in fact, giving away Israel's sovereignty to the UN, to these coalitions of forces, of international forces, to these bi-state solutions, which in essence would inculcate a terrorist state within the borders of Israel, is the fact that the Palestinians can't get along. And this infighting is very important.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
As parents, we're entrusted with a tremendous responsibility to raise and educate our children. This school year, promise yourself that you will get more involved with your child's school. Join the PTA, volunteer for special events, or even try to help with homework. Parents, show your children that school is cool and drugs are for fools. That's from Restore Health and Counseling, serving the Northeast Denver area with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adults and for private as well as professional drug and alcohol screening, treatment, and rehab. Visit Restore Health Counseling at 4705 Paris Street in Denver, or visit us online at rhctherapy.com or inquire by calling 303-373-1188.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrom. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the World Affairs Brief and hopefully subscribe to it.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. People can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. It tells them right how to do that on the front page of the website if they forget. I encourage people to go there each day. My research volunteers take a great deal of effort to post the best of the top conventional stories each day so you get the least disinformation. And they do find an awful lot that is very interesting there that would take other people hours of searching the web to find. So it's a good one-stop place to get today's news, and I know your staff utilizes that service each day as well.
Certainly do. I go there first thing every morning after doing my emails. That's the World Affairs Brief. I recommend it to our listeners. Go right ahead.
Well, things are also in turmoil in Lebanon. The election on June 7th had installed the pro-Western coalition called the March 14th Coalition in power in favor of the Hezbollah-led opposition. But all of a sudden, there was a major setback this week. The Druze leader, Walid Jumblatt, head of the Progressive Socialist Party in Lebanon, who's been a long-term ally of the United States, turned against the March 14th coalition and sent shockwaves through Beirut by announcing that his alliance with this March 14th coalition must end. Jumblatt called for a new Lebanese alliance free of bias, which can only mean free of the influence of the U.S. So apparently he has felt like there's some betrayal involved with his he's got extensive history with the United States, but this is a major political power or force that in turning against this coalition could in fact give Hezbollah another boost in the region. And so once again things continue to fall apart for the Obama regime as they continue to carry forth the Bush agenda. A lot of people who had been counting on change in a different policy in fact are increasingly disappointed. And that's why, Obama has someone like Rahm Emanuel as chief of staff. He knows how to play political hardball. This is a guy who has been a ruthless congressman and done that for many years. He knows all the tricks. Senator John Kyle has been really drumming on the administration about how the bailout isn't working. And Representative Issa from or Republican from California really took Rahm Emanuel to task because apparently after John Kyle had made his statements on various talk shows on Sunday, Rahm Emanuel generated within the administration four almost identical letters to the governor of Arizona, threatening them with a cutoff of federal funds if he doesn't rein in Senator Kyle from Arizona. Here's a sample: the letter from Ken Salazar, Secretary of the Interior. Some key Republican leaders in Congress have publicly questioned whether the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act is working, and suggested canceling all projects that are not currently in progress. I believe they are wrong, says the Secretary of Interior. The stimulus funds provided through the Recovery Act are a very effective way to create jobs. However, if you prefer to forfeit the money we are making available to Arizona, please let me know. This was kind of a veiled threat. Notice how similar this is to the letter from Ray LaHood, Secretary of Transportation, also to the Arizona governor. However, if you prefer to forfeit the money we are making available to your state in transportation, let me know. I mean, this is just in really good evidence that this was a White House-generated campaign. And Congressman Issa says, at what point do you believe your practice of Chicago-style politics violates a public official's right to speak out in favor of alternative policies? Issa asked, the American people have a right to know what role you played in developing the threatening letters to Governor Brewer of Arizona and whether or not you intend to continue to engage in these tactics in the future. So by making this an open letter, he's really embarrassing Rahm Emanuel, and rightly so. Well, in other news, police brutality seems to be growing, especially with the use of these taser guns that they have. Conspiracy theories continue to flood the Internet, claiming that foreign troops are amassing just across the border in Canada and Mexico to help the U.S. implement martial law. None, I repeat, none of these rumors have been confirmed, and I have sent subscribers who live near the border to check these things out, and it's just bogus. I've always been suspicious of the claimed need to hire foreign troops to prosecute the New World Order agenda, having known for years that there are plenty of thugs here in America willing to do the job.
Yeah, they can always hire Blackwater, you know. And I can remember back in 1963 being told that the Chinese were massing troops in Mexico for an invasion of the United States. And they plant these stories over and over and over and over again, and the people really believe them.
Well, and what it does, it makes forums whereby these disinformation items are posted, it discredits them. And so when people go to various of these conspiracy sites, they discredit all the legitimate conspiracies by the fact that the believers, in the, which are, you know, not very few people have the courage to come on board and believe in conspiracy because of the media and the establishment universities. Everybody denigrates conspiracy, and so very few people of high intellect will buy onto these or admit that they do. A lot of people actually believe them but won't admit it in public because of the pejorative that conspiracy has become. But in fact, the evidence is amassing that we have plenty of thugs in this United States. William Norman Grigg Jr. Used to write for the New American. He's got one of his latest articles has four or five different news stories about just out of control police officers. I mean, in Virginia, they raided a baptismal party because they were playing music. They were a little noisy. It was an outdoor party. And without cause or provocation, that is, of any direct confrontation with them, and it was being videotaped, it proves that there was no verbal assault against the police when they came to check on the party. They assaulted the grandfather who owns the home, tasered him three times while the children and other guests look on. When the pregnant daughter-in-law tried to help him, they tasered her and charged him with disorderly conduct and public intoxication. Well, you can't do that on your person's own private property. It's just not public intoxication. Incredible.
Well, we got a real problem. Some people there and the police, you know, just, they're thugs too. We've got a lot of good police officers, but you got to get rid of the bad apples or they'll spoil the whole batch. We'll be right back.
Home for rent at Carter Lake with great views from wraparound deck. Just 15 minutes from Loveland or Berthoud. Has two master bedrooms with two full baths. Is partially furnished and includes hot tub, fireplace, wood burning stove, storage sheds, large garden. Chickens are optional. 2 acres with plenty of room for your outdoor toys. Great neighbors. Pets are welcome. For more information, call 970-667-4509. That's 970-667-4509. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis.
Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
A&H Heating and Air Conditioning says, let's keep our kids away from drugs this summer. Get to know their friends, set stricter curfews, and do things together as a family. Get involved, because drug abuse is no joking matter. This message is from A&H Heating and Air Conditioning, where service is more than a word. It's a fact backed by the right know-how and experience proven by customers who wouldn't trust their work to anyone else but A&H Heating, formerly known as Valley Heating and Air Conditioning. That's A&H Heating and Air Conditioning at 165 Long Peach Street in Brighton. Call 659-1087. That's 659-1087.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, the last segment of the program. So you pick up the story, Joel.
You know, one of the common tactics that's used is that any time someone tries to interfere when there's police brutality, they get charged with assaulting an officer. I mean, this pregnant daughter-in-law tried to intervene to keep the grandfather from being tasered, you know, was charged with assaulting an officer. A few weeks earlier in Webster, Texas, a pastor was tasered after a member of his congregation was pulled over by police in the church parking lot. Once backup arrives, says Greg, the boldness of police is a function of operating in packs increases dramatically. They assaulted the pastor who tried to find out what was going on over there, telling him, of course, that he was interfering with a police officer. I mean, that's just incredible when you challenge police in their treatment of someone, that they immediately slap a charge on interfering with justice. And this isn't justice. In Alabama, the police, they pepper sprayed and tasered a deaf, mentally handicapped adult man who couldn't hear their orders to leave the bathroom of a discount store. Once the confusion was cleared up, they arrested him anyway on various charges, including, assaulting the officer who attacked him. And the police department issues a statement claiming the attack with chemical and electrical shock weapons was justified because the man was carrying a weapon. It was an umbrella. I mean, it's just, don't they have any embarrassment? I mean, these people are in a defensive mode of trying to, of course, keep from being sued, but they ought to rein in these officers. It was just, and there's several other examples that it gives, but I don't think they need foreign troops to do anything at all. We've got plenty of Blackwater mercenaries. We got plenty of thugs, and I don't know how they end up migrating to police departments. But one of the things that bothers me about most police is that they're overweight. They obviously come from a muscular background, and then they sit in patrol cars all the day. They don't exercise. I don't know how they have these kinds of standards in police where they allow people to get dumpy and overweight. And they should be in top physical condition to be able to act the part. But it's part of a macho mentality that I really fear, is that when you cross a police officer or question what they do, and they tend to want to read the riot act to you. So, and I say this knowing that there are many exceptions to that generality. There are some good police officers. And I'm not being anti-police. I'm being anti this mentality of not being willing to deal with the public when they have objections to what the police want to say to them or charge them. And I think that there's got to be more leeway, especially when you have mild-mannered individuals and people who obviously aren't criminals that are trying to get an honest explanation. And the list goes on and on when you talk about the TSA at the airports. D.B. Kidd, had a run-in with TSA, and so did Sybil Edmonds, who you know both of them, and it's just incredible how when you talk to some of these minority fat, dumpy women who are, you know, got a little power as a TSA inspector, and you try to question what they're doing, and they start threatening and to arrest. And I know in one instance with Sybil Edmonds, they called the police over, and the police apologized, and she just read the, you know, said, yeah, we know these TSA people are out of control, and she just read the Riot Act to them. He said, you know, they're going to be out of control until you stop, you know, placating these people and stand up to them. You know, I can't stand up to them lest I get arrested, but you can. And of course, they were trying to do their part by not arresting her, but still, you know, people are too much of a yes man to federal authority, especially when it's being overused. In other news, Dr. Stan, the nation of Georgia is still a sore point in U.S.-Russia relations. Top Russian diplomat is accusing the United States of rearming the Georgian military, and I think that's probably true, but the news doesn't point out as well that Russia has been you know, sending in more and more arms into Abkhazia and the other areas that they occupy illegally from Georgia and the Caucasus. So they're clearly setting up, I think, for future armed intervention in the area. I've always believed that World War III will start not only by a major trigger event, which will probably be North Korea, but also increased hostility and confrontation between the millions of Russians that the U.S., Russia has moved into these former Soviet states, which will provide the fodder and tinder for inflamed passions when agent provocateurs start, you know, inducing conflict between the original residents of these countries and the Russians, who are powerful, large majorities, which are in large measure. Responsible for much of the conflict going on there. And of course, we have reports of Russian subs off the Atlantic coast. While the mainstream media and the White House claim to be surprised, those of us who have never believed in the phony fall of the Soviet Union are not surprised at all. In fact, this isn't the first time that Russian subs have been in the Atlantic. They've been there ever since the fall of the Soviet Union. The Russians have maintained some surveillance in these areas since the mid-1990s. Of course, defense officials would not speak on what weapons they believe the submarines could be carrying. The mere presence of subs just outside the U.S. Makes officials wonder about Moscow's purpose. Well, why should they wonder? Why is everyone afraid to hypothesize that Russia is becoming more aggressive, which is, you know, the reality of what we observe? And of course, they say that anything the Russian Navy does something out of the ordinary, it's a cause for worry. Well, I can't really say that that's true. In fact, it never hardly reaches the news. This is a very rare occurrence. The military certainly isn't, you know, making any waves about this, because I think they're on a gag order, and so is American intelligence, to ever talk about Russia as an enemy. And I think that's evidence that our own government is setting us up for a future war, so that America will be shocked and surprised. Well,
I fear you're right, and I think it's only a matter of time. Plato was said, only the dead have seen the end of war, and it's coming again. It's being, you know, promoted by our leaders, who are doing everything they can to build up the military potential of both communist China and Russia under one guise or another. I mean, we're transferring our technology, our production, to Russia and China, those BRIC nations. Why would we do it? Joel, we're out of time. God bless. Bye-bye.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. KHNC listeners are painfully aware of the forces that have brought our economy to the state it's in. We want financial advice from experts who understand what's really going on. The iMoneyCoach.com team has put all the knowledge they use to coach successful people and businesses into a 10-course training program for only a fraction of the cost. Thousands of dollars of training materials and videos for under $200. At iMoneyCoach.com, you'll get the knowledge you need to change your life for the better. iMoneyCoach.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Need Your Wagon reminds parents in our listening area that over the summer, children who are out of school shouldn't be out of luck, hope, or guidance. For many troubled youth, the first step towards drugs and crime is having nothing better to do. Take your kids to the beach, park, or family center. It's the best weapon against delinquency, crime, and drug abuse. This message was sponsored by Paint Your Wagon, totally dedicated to the care and enrichment of our area seniors. For more information regarding programs and admissions, call 823-5390. That's 823-5390. That's Paint Your Wagon in Lyons, where they're always working for our seniors.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and Kirsty, as we try to point out over and over again, nothing as it appears to be. Why is Russia a military power today? Why? Because the Russian communist government has been financed by the United States since its inception. If you have not read the book Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, you need to get it. We do carry it. We carry the book The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, going into how we financed the Germans, we financed the Russians, we financed our enemies all throughout the world. That's Best Enemies Money Could Buy. We have a DVD by exactly the same title, my interview with Professor Sutton back in 1980, a DVD, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. We have a pamphlet. It's inexpensive. I think it's only $3.95 plus shipping. It's called The Capitalist-Communist Alliance, or The Communist-Capitalist Alliance, a phrase used actually by Solzhenitsyn. We include part of a speech that he gave, totally suppressed by the media, pointing out how the American government and American corporations were actually financing the Russian regime and helping them enslave the Russian people. That's the Communist-Capitalist Alliance. Goes into how we financed the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War so we could continue the war for 10 long, horrible, bloody years. So all of this information is available from Radio Liberty, and certainly in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we go into the background there, how basically, Chris, we've been financing the Russian military under one guise or another, quoting certainly some of our leaders, talking about how, you know, one of them, I think it was John Lehman, who was addressing the cadets at Annapolis, who were just graduating to become naval officers, saying, you know, within just a few months, you'll be standing on American ships, looking across the water and seeing ships with the finest technology, American technology available, but it'll be on Russian ships. And that's what it's all about. We have created the best enemy money could buy. So when they tell you the Russian subs are off our shores, I mean, don't be frightened. I mean, they're probably full of American technology. How did Russia come back after it collapsed in 1990? Why, of course, my little pamphlet on the Communist-Capitalist Alliance goes into how American corporations with American funding drilled the oil wells, drilled the natural gas wells, and made the Russia the largest producer of natural gas and the second largest producer of oil anywhere in the world. Why would we do that? Why are we creating the best enemy money could buy? Nothing as it appears to be. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, if you're out there in the listening audience, we hope you go to our website. You can listen to our programs on the internet there, and they're available on the satellite and our satellite feed, our live programs, our archive programs, our blog programs, our MP3 programs. Get the information, get other people learning, listening. people must understand that there really is a brotherhood of darkness, that nothing is as it appears to be, that behind the scenes our leaders work with the leaders of the communist countries, and they have since their inception, that right now...